Today on Real Radio.
Church, do you understand that God reserves the right to supersede our plans? We don't often like it. We are a people, humans do not like change, and we don't like unscheduled change.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through 2 Corinthians. Verses 12 through 24 of the first chapter contains an assurance about God's promises that when he says he will do this or that, it will happen. Indeed, reassuring words for the true believer. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called, When God Says, I Promise.
When God says, I promise. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 to 24. Follow along with me if you would there. Paul says, For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly toward you, for we are not writing any other things to you than what you've read or understand. Now I trust you will understand. Even to the end. That's a great statement right there. Even to the end. Verse 14. As also you have understood in part that we are your boast, as you also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence I intend to come to you before that you might have a second benefit. Now listen carefully to this. It gets kind of tough to follow. To pass by way of you to Macedonia, and to come again from Macedonia to you, to be helped by you on my way to Judea, or back to Israel. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes, and yes, and no, no? But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no, but the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises, mark it, of God in him are yes and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Verse 22. Who also has sealed us, circle the word sealed, and given, circle the word given, us the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, in our hearts as a guarantee. You ought to circle the word guarantee. Moreover, I call God as witness against my soul, that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth, not that we have dominion over your faith, but our fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand. What is he talking about? Paul is in trouble with the church at Corinth. They are upset with him. He had told them that I'm going to come by and see you. And he had given them a time frame. And lo and behold, as we shall see this morning, something came up that was of God. God intervened in Paul's plan. Now listen, all of us need to pay attention to this because it is true in our lives and it will be true in our lives. And when God intervened in Paul's plan, God had a mission for Paul to accomplish. We'll see it in Acts chapter 18. But what God wanted to do did not exactly correspond with the Corinthians' desires and Paul's plan. Church, do you understand that God reserves the right to supersede our plans? We don't often like it. We are a people, humans do not like change, and we don't like unscheduled change. But God has his plan. And so things didn't go exactly right for Paul and his agreement or his plan with the church at Corinth. And here's what happened. Some people at the church said, well, you know what? Paul's leading God. And you know, when Paul gets here, Paul gets here. God bless those people. Then there are those who began to stir up the dust, as it were, or the water, as it were, and get it all murky and put doubt in people's minds. And they began to say things like, well, you know what, Paul, you can't trust Paul. He doesn't keep his word. Very quick to criticize an action that is not followed through upon, and blaming Paul. They began to blame Paul. And they began to say, well, you know what? Listen, when he says yes, you don't know if it's yes or not. When he says no, you don't know if it's no or not. Look, we've all lived like that. Have you ever been misunderstood? Hey, look, if you have not been misunderstood, then you're not using this thing, this hole that's positioned right about in the middle of your face. If you open your mouth and if you speak or if you step out and you are going to be committed to the service of people, to an effort, to a cause, ladies and gentlemen, just receive it and relax. Understand this, you will be misunderstood. In fact, listen, in a Christian or spiritual context, you will be misunderstood no matter how hard you try to make yourself so crystal clear unto people. Because there's one that is at work that the Bible says is the prince of the power of the air. And he loves confusion. Satan loves to get Christians confused, disillusioned, off track, questioning, filled with doubt, filled with fear. And listen, in our minds go in a place that they ought not to be going. It seems as though as Christians, we need to be careful that we don't quickly judge. Paul was being judged by the very ones that he loved. And they seemed to revel almost in some sort of spiritual evil joy of theirs that, oh, you can't trust Paul, trying to cast doubt upon his ministry. Church, mark it down as we look at this. When God says, I promise, it's all based upon his person, verses 12 to 14. I want you to know that. We're going to be approaching this study a little bit different than what might be the norm that's before us. Mark it down. Point number one is that it's based upon his person. When God says, I promise, verses 12 to 14, it is this. God is true. God is true, verse 12. Look at it. He says, for our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience. Can you circle two words first? The words here, testimony and conscience. Paul is saying, hey, listen up, church at Corinth. I want you to understand something. Our boasting is this. Our revelry in God, our boasting in the ministry. Now, hear me out. We'll define the word boasting in a moment. Our boasting is this. It is the testimony of our conscience. Paul is saying, my conscience and the ministry team that we are serving under, our conscience is clear regarding these attacks. And I want you to understand that for a moment. When we as people make a promise, have you ever promised? Look, I'm not even going to ask you that. Well, of course you've promised. I will pick you up at 3 o'clock. You promise your friend. Okay? Oh my goodness. There's a pastor on staff here. He asked me like you know, a week in advance, can you take me to the airport? I got a fly out at Ontario. I said, yeah, I'll do it. And I completely forgot. I completely forgot. And thank God he got to the airport in time. It wasn't through me. I forgot. And it broke my heart. And I got to tell you, man, I felt so bad. And I was keenly aware in a moment. With all the best intentions, I as a human have no ability to guarantee a promise. As much as I would want to. Did you know that? Yes, I'm quiet in here right now. Let me put it to you this way. You do not have the ability to fulfill a promise with all the best intentions. Why? Because we are human and we are weak. But I'm not saying that that should let us off the hook. Okay? But we need to remember this. As wonderful as the movement of the promise keepers was, the only true promise keeper is God. But again, that doesn't take us off the hook. God keeps his promises. And this is vitally important. How does God keep his promises to us? Number one, when Paul says, my conscience is clear on this, our testimony is this, we're clear. We may have hurt your feelings, we didn't intend to, O Corinthians, but thank God, the very, very basis of God keeping his promises is that God is absolutely true in his promise-keeping abilities. And all of God's people should say amen at that. God is the promise keeper, and we rejoice in that. Listen, the word testimony is this, that when he says our testimony of our conscience, the word means it is evidential, it is fact, it is proof positive, it is confirmed. It means that when someone takes the stand and swears an oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, it is that word testimony. He is saying, I am as honest and as truthful and right before God right now that my conscience is clear. And Christian, you and I need to live our lives with a clear conscience before all men. And you and I need to work at it. That's not going to happen without us applying hard our efforts as a Christian to be true to our word. Even though we'll fail at times, let it be because of powers outside of ourselves. Why? We need to be like, this is going to sound strange through the whole course of this message, but let me put it to you straight up. We need to be more like our God and stop being more like our excuses. We need to be more like our God. We need to show the world the nature of our God, and it's all based upon his person and how true God is, that he keeps his promises. And that's an example for you and I. Then it's the word conscience. That is awareness. Paul's consciousness, the moral consciousness of Paul, though he didn't keep his word, he wasn't able to keep his word to the Corinthians, he didn't arrive when he was supposed to arrive, his conscience was clear. Man, I don't know how to tell you guys this, but listen, when you take a stand, when you step out and you take a stand, as I was mentioning earlier, you are going to be, you're going to get pats on the back and you're going to get knives in the back. People are going to applaud you and people are going to curse you. And let me promise you this, people are going to judge you. What do you do about it? Now watch, church, are you listening? What are you going to do about that? I'm not going to do nothing. That's my answer. I'll never risk that. That could hurt my feelings. I could get scared. I'm just going to sit. Jeremiah tried that. The Bible says Jeremiah, basically Jeremiah said, God, every time I open my mouth for you, somebody beats me up and throws me into a dungeon. So Jeremiah said, I'm not going to speak anymore in your name. Now he said, I'm not going to speak anymore in your name. Think of that. It doesn't mean Jeremiah didn't speak. He said, I'm not going to speak in your name. And the Bible says, Jeremiah said, he determined to be silent. And scripture says that his bones, he says, my bones began to burn inside of me. The word of God, I grew up in a house where the percolated coffee, remember it would bubble and you know how that works? The word of God began to just percolate. Little bubble here, a little pop here, a little boil there. And then Jeremiah said, I couldn't keep silent. And I believe a real Christian cannot keep silent in these days. And you might sit here today and you might say, well, I'm going to play it safe. And I'm not going to be engaged in a controversy. This thing could explode. Let me tell you right now. You want to have a clear conscience with Paul? Follow the God that is all true. The God whose nature, whose very person is true, and what you stand for, make sure that you can go to chapter and verse of the Bible and stand on that thing and be absolutely firm-footed. Be sure. But God's people are to stand. And then this word boasting, I saved it for last. I kind of inverted it. Boasting. For our boasting is this. The word boasting, in a good sense, means your motive. Your motive is true. Now look, you and I, it is impossible for us, according to the Bible, for us to know our true motives. Did you know that? The Bible says our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knows our motives. What you and I want to do is say, Lord, judge my motives, and if they're wrong, make them right. All the time we should be praying this prayer. I'm going to sign up for that ministry. I'm going to pray this prayer. I'm going to preach this message, or I'm going to do this or that. Then you say, Lord, please make my motive true. If it's wrong, change my motive now. Isn't that a great way? That's a wonderful way to live. Amen. The power of God is seen in a life, by the way, when you think about it, of every true believer. The Bible says in John 1:17, the law was given through Moses, and that's fantastic. But it says grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. It's not that the law was not true. The law was true, but there's no grace in the law. The law condemns us, and that law came through Moses, given to him by God. But salvation from us breaking the law, the truth of it, the grace of it comes through Jesus. And the world should know the gospel through us like that. God is true. When God says, I promise, look at this, look at verse 12. Not only true, but God is pure. The pureness of God. It's all based upon his nature. It's based upon his person. And God's person is pure. It says in verse 12, continuing, that we conducted ourselves in the world. How about this? We conducted ourselves at the gas company, at Edison, at Boeing. Where do you work? At DuPont. Where do you work? We conducted ourselves at Ford. Where do you work? We conducted ourselves among our neighbors. Where do you live? We conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and in godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, the wisdom of this world, which the Bible says is devilish, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you, that is toward you Christians. I love this. I love what he's saying here. Christians, conduct yourselves in the world, understanding this. They are watching us. They're judging everything we say and do. Listen, does that make you nervous? Does that make you upset? Listen, they should judge you and I by everything that we say and do. The world should judge us. After all, we're the ones that are saying, we're Christians, we know God. If we're Christians and we know God, then you know what? Naturally, the world should say, I'm going to watch you. And I'm gonna watch your life for 30 days, and at the end of 30 days, I'm going to determine if you are really a Christian or not. Right? Amen. I say this often. It seems like I say it every weekend. But it doesn't matter what you say or what label you put on yourself. Are you a Christian? Paul is saying the world is watching, and our conduct in the world, our conscience is clear on it. We need to hear this today. Oh, there's so many scandals with Christians. There is. I think there's less scandals with Christians than what we really think. There's a lot of scandals, and the label of Christian is put on it. There's a lot of people who traffic in and out of a church who are scandalous, but they may not be Christians, you see. Now, I'm not saying that a Christian is exempt from scandal. I'm just saying that it may be a lot less, but let's be honest. One scandalous event with a Christian leader or a Christian in the neighborhood is one too many, amen? But Paul is saying, my conscience is clear. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that when we would be witnesses unto the uttermost parts of the earth, the word witness there is an amazing word. Acts 1:8, when he says, you shall be witnesses. Notice this, everybody. You shall be witnesses to whom? I'm not asking you to where. To where we know. To Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the world. Who are we to be witnesses of or to whom? Look, it's capital M right there. Jesus. He's saying, I want you, listen, I love this. I want you, Christian, to get on out there into that world. And I want you to be a witness to me. What does that mean? Well, you guys know this because you were up early. Did you see the moon? Yes. Did you see the moon rise last night? Oh my, I don't know if I've ever seen it that big. It was big, coming up, and in the middle of the night, I looked up, I went out in the backyard, it was big again. We had shadows in our backyard from the moon. And then it was setting, it was so amazing, I took a picture of it. It's fantastic. You said, what are you talking about the moon for? Because the moon ain't nothing without the power of the sun. There is no power to the moon. But it was casting shadows last night. I understand that. But in all honesty, the moon wasn't casting shadows. If you were using a photometer, or if you could send a laser beam back on the wavelength of light, guess what would have happened? You would have been in your backyard, sent the laser, following the light beam upstream. It would have hit the moon, bounced back. You would have seen it shoot across the sky and disappear over the night horizon and head right toward the sun that you couldn't see in the black of the night, because the moon only reflects the power of the sun. And Jesus is saying, when you go out into the world, you are to reflect my power, my glory, my brilliance. That's a Christian. To shine in this world, listen, all we're supposed to do as believers is be grand reflectors of the glory of God into our culture. And where are we supposed to shine that light, church? Everywhere. Everywhere. Jesus is saying, you be that reflection light of me to the world. What a great truth that is. In 1 John 4:17, the Bible says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we have, or that we may have, boldness in the day of judgment when we stand before Jesus in that last day. Why? How? Because as he is, what does it say? So are we in this world. That is awesome. The Christian should be illuminated.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, in a lesson called When God Says, I Promise. It's part of Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse look at Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. When God Says, I Promise is actually a series within a series and part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies through this part of Scripture. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we have Pastor Jack right here in studio with us. And Pastor Jack, before we go real quick, you have a lot of places on this earth to teach and preach. And this is one that I want to follow you along on. Hawaii, what's going on? Tell me.
Come on, let's go. Actually, we're going to be having a great, great time. We're going to be getting together on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, August 21st to the 23rd, at an event that is being hosted right there in Honolulu, and it is called Summer Lights. And it's going to be a great time. Listen to this, everybody, and I hope that you make time to come on out and join us. Friday night, August 21st, I'm going to have the opportunity to address a gathering regarding an evangelistic message. If you bring someone out to this get-together, we're going to be preaching the gospel. I've got the honor to do that, and we're going to give a great and exciting invitation for your loved ones, your friends, your co-workers to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, listen, I got two really good friends, great brothers, who are right here in the Southern California area, mind you. Saturday night, August 22nd, my good friend John Randall. Pastor John's going to be delivering his message, and then a home run hitter when it comes to preaching the gospel. Everybody knows Greg Laurie. Love him. In fact, Davey, Greg Laurie led me to the Lord on June 20th, 1977.
Yep.
Sunday night, August 23rd, Greg Laurie at 6 p.m. is going to be giving a message. So listen, three nights of opportunity for you to bring a friend to hear the gospel. I'll be doing Friday night, John Randall Saturday night, and Greg Laurie Sunday night. Listen, look forward to seeing you there. I would love to meet you in person. Make plans to attend.
And what about that Sunday morning? What's coming up?
You know, I have a cross to bear, a burden to carry.
What's that?
That is, I've got to teach the Word of God, the Bible, at North Shore Christian Fellowship in Haleiwa. Oh, you know, those of you who have never been, you don't quite exactly know what I'm excited about or what Davey's excited about. For those of you who have been to the North Shore of Oahu, North Shore Christian Fellowship is a great gathering. I'll be there Sunday morning, August 23rd. At the old Haleiwa Gym, and that's on King Kamehameha Highway, in the little village of the town of Haleiwa, and we're going to have a great time. Come on out. Service time is 9 a.m., and again, I would love to meet you, love to hang out, and bring someone. Bring someone to that service, and if you're in the North Shore, you know exactly where that is, but if you're in Waikiki area or Mililani Town, just a short drive, would love to see you there. Again, come on out. August 23rd, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. at North Shore Christian Fellowship.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.